This month, Iran marked the 30th anniversary of the Islamic Revolution. The revolution signified a profound political and cultural shift, transitioning its monarchy to an Islamic republic, which was part democracy and part theocracy. Three decades on, it remains one of the most turbulent and profound moments in the history of the modern Middle East. Darius Rajali, chair of the Political Science Department of Reed College and author of Torture and Democracy, joins us now for his thoughts and perspectives. And he's joining us from Portland, Oregon. Good early morning, Professor.
Oh, yes. Good morning. Thank you. Nice to be here.
Now, you are here in the U.S., and your family was in Iran during the revolution. What do you remember?
Well, I remember it was incredibly chaotic. I remember communications broke down between the United States, and I wasn't in touch with my parents for about 6 or 7 months until they appeared in London. And then I remember them actually being here for a while and going back and basically staying there through much of the dark period that followed the revolution, particularly the war, all the way up until 94. So it was a long and difficult period. Anyone who's seen the movie Persepolis knows that it was kind of a difficult period for a lot of people, both here and there.
Marking this anniversary or celebrating the anniversary in the case of some, does it really drudge up seemingly internal conflict the country has seemed to feel about the revolution?
Yeah, I mean, for a lot of people, it's a lot like Cuba in some ways. Certainly here, it brings up a lot of bad memories for people, that's for sure. I mean, a lot of people kind of, when they look back at the Islamic Republic, they kind of think, when is it going to go away? And they kind of have two models of it. You know, one is that a model that says it's like the Soviet Union or Poland. One day it's a totalitarian country and it just won't last. And some other people kind of think of it like an authoritarian state like South America, Chile. Usually that's people on the right or people on the left have these views. I think for me, the really sort of deeper problem is that the better analogy, actually, in a way, is that it's like the American South in the 1950s, particularly in Mississippi, where you have a deeply divided society, deeply divided about its values. You got some people who are religious but who are for civil rights, and you got other people who control the press and the judiciary and can count on their supporters to show up and beat up the people who want civil rights. And, sometimes this is viewed as a conflict between young and old Iranians, but what's really important is that it's the society itself, and it's still trying to figure out what it is.
But when you say it's society itself, doesn't the generational gap, isn't that significant? Because many of those involved in the revolution are older now, and there seems to be a newer generation which doesn't necessarily seem as inclined to support what they stood for.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think it's certainly true that there's an enormous population growth that's happened, since I left there were 35 million, and now it's close to 70 million people. So half the country's pretty young and born after the revolution. But the other thing to recognize is a lot of the news that we get out of Tehran, out of Iran, it really comes from Tehran, and it's from reporters who see the young people in Tehran. You know, about 6 or 7 years ago, I went back to Iran to look at what was happening in the provinces and how elections were going down the provinces. And there I would find young people who were equally adamantly for the revolution on the other side.
And so do you think that explains how President Ahmadinejad got elected and he is up for re-election this year?
Well, first of all, yeah, I think, Ahmadinejad was a complete surprise. Nobody thought that he would come in from the rear. He got a tremendous amount of votes from the veterans of the war. And it's really important to recognize this because there were two kinds of veterans who came back from the war, those who believed in justice and the ideals of the revolution and fought for equality. And those guys all became reformists. And then there were those who went out of loyalty and piety and faith, and those guys became the people who voted for Mr. Ahmadinejad. So I think, it represents a deep conflict even in the older generation, and the younger generation who has parents in these areas also feel these tensions. Anyway, as far as, there is definitely an election coming up. We can't predict. These are often very unpredictable events. No one, as I say, knew Ahmadinejad. What I can confirm for you, Catherine, is that I am not running for office this year. It is a big problem, and I will not run for office.
Oh, come on.
I'm a good talker, and my cousins all think I should run. But you know, the facts are that the Islamic Republic has some major problems going in. It's a very paradoxical state. I mean, it's got like, well, first of all, it's got a major economic problem. It's got major environmental pollution problems. And the price of oil has collapsed, which has seriously affected the economy. Plus, we have the new Afghan surge coming up. So if you were president of Iran, you'd have a lot of problems, kind of like my academic job.
Well, thank you for your thoughts on the marking of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Darius Rajali, professor of political science at Reed College and chair of the Reed's Political Science Department. He's also the author of Torture and Democracy. Thank you, professor.
For having me. Bye.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.